Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name football. Of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got an admirable alternation, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Visit www.mwcconnection.com for more all your Mountain West Connection needs. Now we bring you live to MWC Connection Podcast.
It's a Mountain West Connection here. This is the show, folks. After a full day of the World Cup of disappointing losses by apparently two of our guys here, Chris's Grease Team lost in PKs, and we'll get into Mexico versus Netherlands, but Matt Kays here, our Fresno guy, did not approve of that penalty kick at the last little bit in the game. So welcome. Everyone, welcome. Take two. We'll say it. Take two. Yeah, we had a few issues earlier for some reason. My computer crashed, but we're back. You don't hear my screw-up, which we're not going to mention. But MWCConnection.com, this is our Fresno State preview here tonight. We have a trio of people, like I said, our good normal intro man, Chris Hondris. Say hello.
Hello.
Matt Kay over there in California.
What's going on?
There we go. And let's just get into Fresno. We already lost 20 minutes. Like I said, take two. Here's where I'm going to start with what we started before. So this might be repetitive, so let's keep up the energy, guys, so we don't sound like we're mailing it in, but... Start at the top. If Fresno is so good, is Tim Drudor going to be finding himself in a Pac-12 job or a Big Ten job either this year or 3 years down the road?
Well, like I said, considering that he signed an extension in the offseason, I would like to think not. I think that he's probably more likely to follow the Chris Peterson route, where, you know, Chris Peterson was at Boise for something like a decade, right?
Yeah, there for a while. So would he be the case where, because we know they're bringing in, they have Brandon Connett from Duke coming in. He's a one-year, one guy. But they have maybe Zach Greenlee, who's the lead 11, fairly highly touted guy, came to Fresno. Could he be staying for the next couple years? Say they win 9 games, which probably is expected this year. But he knows we could have this so much going forward, would be reason to hang around instead of taking a bad, like, Illinois or Indiana or Colorado job.
He never said that sustaining a college football program's success would be easy. They obviously lost a lot of talent this year, but they've recruited pretty well as far as mid-majors are concerned. And they brought in, you know, the right transfers. They brought in Brandon Connett to compete for the quarterback job. So if you're asking me, I think that he's more likely to stick around at least for another 2 or 3 years before he really starts considering making that jump.
So, I mean, what kind of job would you think Tim Drudor actually taking if we did find him not staying around?
Can I answer that now? Is he going to take over for Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M when he goes to the NFL?
You know what? That's an interesting proposition.
Sorry, Chris. I had to jump in there with that.
Well, no, because, you know, he was the defensive coordinator there for a year.
A year, yeah.
So he, you know, he has the connections in Texas. I think that if he were going to go somewhere, it probably would be to the Big 12, which would make it a very interesting site, considering that the Big 12 is all about offense, and Tim DeRuiter, as we know, is a defensive-minded coach. So, you know, if that happens, that'd be fun to watch.
But they got the Wrecking Crew. Is that back yet? I don't think that's back yet, Texas A&M.
It hasn't been back for a few years.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about Fresno State, though, and not Texas A&M and the fun that is Johnny Manziel, except the not fun that will be anybody else nowadays. So, we have Fresno State, and we lost the fun that was Derek Carr, but the quarterback situation looks to be pretty much okay because you guys got a transfer in Brandon Connett, the Duke.
That is correct.
So is he going to be the guy? One year to play? Would he? What do you think he'd be promised anything? Because if you're that graduate transfer, what's the point of going somewhere if you're not going to be at least like a handshake agreement or a wink wink that you're going to get that starting job?
Well, I don't want to sit here and project onto the coaching staff.
Oh, come on!
But I mean, if you're asking me from an objective point of view, I think that they wouldn't have brought him in if they didn't expect him to seize the starting job. He was already in a timeshare for a major football program in 2013. He's part of that two quarterback system at Duke, and his personal circumstances changed to the point where he had to come home. So I don't think that he would be coming to Fresno State if they didn't expect him to win a job when fall rolls around.
All right. Well, okay. Sorry. I'm just thinking about the answer to this now of what you said before. So if it's him, what's the deal with Zach Greenlee then? Is he still going to be in contention for the job? Because it looks like he's not even the second guy. You have Brian Burrell, then Zach Greenlee. Was Zach Greenlee just overrated? Because you're at the spring game, you did some video, you talked to coaches and players and stuff. Who would be, if Condit's the guy, or if you're assuming he's the guy, who's going to be number two then? Who's going to be the actual down the road? Not that you need to project, but
how's it turning out? With the summer prospectus that Fresno State put out, they have Brian Burrell at the top of the depth chart, which I think was before Connett came on board. And I think that he's likely to be the backup, if not in serious contention for the starting job. I don't think he's out of it by any stretch. As for Zach Greenlee, I don't think that the production has matched up to the hype so far. He came in with a lot of recruiting accolades, but at the spring game, a lot of his passes looked, off target. He was throwing, wobbly passes. He was throwing above receivers. There were a couple of passes behind, and he had a couple of passes intercepted. It may have just been a bad morning, but I don't think he's ready for prime time yet. That's not to say that he's not still the quarterback of the future, but as of right now, I don't think he's a serious contender for the starting job.
Interesting.
Moving on to the running back. The running back situation was a little constrained last year because of the offensive scheme that DeRuiter seemed to be running. Is it still going to be a 1A and 1 running back?
It's Chris there.
I'll jump in with that. I kind of heard his volume fade in and out. Basically, are they going to do what they did last year? You got the Josh Quezada. He's listed as a starter, rated a bit higher than the Walter Casey there, the backup. Mantis. I always get that name mixed up, those two guys.
He's Waller.
Waller. I don't know why I say Casey. Sorry, you dropped out there. But Waller, are they going to do it last year, or is Quezada actually going to be the man?
No, I think it'll be more the same as it was last year, where Quezada might be the starter in title. But in reality, I don't think it'll really mean that much because between the two of them, they had about 270 carries. But it was basically 150 and 120. So there wasn't that much separation between the two. What I think will happen is that there will be they will open up the rotation a little bit more to help ease the transition for the new quarterback. I think Malik Meisenheimer is likely to get more carries. I think Daryl Cash, who was one of the really big standouts in the spring game, is going to get a look here or there. And even a guy like Dontell James, who redshirted last year, he's probably going to get a touch or two if the need arises.
So with what they're going to be running, are they going to be, we know they're going to stick to a pass offense, or could it be more, not like, so not 50-50, but maybe 65 or maybe even under 60%, like in that 50% range, maybe 60 at the most, between still passing compared to running?
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't think they're going to throw the ball nearly 700 times again this year. I think it'll be closer to what it looked like 2 years ago. And I think that the running backs will probably have, I don't know, 5-10 more carries per game in them, which I think will help to wear down defenses, and I think it'll help keep everybody fresh.
That'd be good, losing all those wide receivers there. So let's just jump into that real quick. So what are you making the wide receivers? Davante Davis, or Adams, excuse me, Davante Adams, that's the UNLV guy. Adams is gone. Burrish is gone. Marcel Jensen's gone. Is there any way they can get close to that?
I think that this wide receiver core has a lot of potential. And the one guy I'm really excited about is Aaron Peck. You know, he had a couple of miscues last year. Anybody who watched the Las Vegas Bowl will remember, that 40-yard bomb going right through his hands. You know, he didn't have a very good day, but, he's got the size to really make a difference, to be that red zone target that this team is going to need. Another guy I'm really interested in following is Justin Johnson. He's likely to take Watson's place in the starting rotation. Watson's probably going to move to Isaiah Burse's slot. Miles Carr, who was in the running to be a quarterback, has made the jump to wide receiver, so he's probably going to get a few looks.
How good do you think he could be? Because wasn't he still playing quarterback during spring and the spring game? Or did he already make that switch before?
No, they announced the switch, I believe, about a month ago.
Okay.
They're not going to count on him to do any kind of heavy
anything.
I think that he might have 20 catches this year, which, there were 7 guys last year who had 20 catches.
Yeah, they have the depth there, so that's what they need.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as losing Marcel Jensen, he was a playmaker, but they have a guy, Jaron McClendon, who, he may not see the field full-time, but he's got the size to really make a difference. He's 6'8", and he looks every inch of it. Like, that dude towered over me when I saw him at the spring game. So, he's going to get that playing time that went to Jensen last year, and, he's probably got the capacity to pitch in 20 catches and a couple of touchdowns on his own.
One thing I'm not worried about is the Fresno State offensive line. True, you do lose Austin Wentworth, but that's all right, considering that you're going to have a fairly strong offensive line to hold him up. But let's move on to the defensive side. Last year, was Daron Smith worthy of his preseason Mountain West?
Did we lose Chris again? Chris, yes, he was worthy of it.
He was worthy?
Oh, yeah.
More than DeMarcus Lawrence was worthy last year to be preseason?
I'm not saying that there was a huge, gap between guys like DeMarcus Lawrence and Daron Smith. But I don't think it was an unreasonable choice. There may have been a little bit of reliance on the flashy interception numbers. But, if last year was any indication, he may not have won the award when everything was said and done. But I think he backed up the preseason honor because he hauled in another 7 interceptions last year.
So then, we can't say obviously that he's going to be a favorite for the Defensive Player of the Year title this year. But he's definitely
strong.
I think we're losing Chris again, Jeremy.
What's going on, man? When do you fix this?
I have no clue. Can you guys hear me?
We got you now. I'll have to go in and fix a few things. But yes, continue again with this, with your question.
So, yeah, you're right. He said, you know, he racked up 7 interceptions last year. He had 73.5 tackles, 4 sacks. But is this guy going to pull anchor of Fresno State defense? Or are we going to have some other people take over?
No, I think he's definitely going to be the heart and soul of this defense because he's the one guy that Nick Toth really asks to do everything. You know, they ask him to be that eighth guy in the box. They ask him to, you know, be a ball hawk in coverage, be opportunistic and gamble here and there when the occasion calls for it. You know, he had not just 4 sacks, but he had 8 tackles for loss, which was actually tied, I think, for 3rd on the team. I know,
not bad for a defensive back there.
Yeah, and the other safety, Charles Washington, had another 8 tackles for loss on his own. So, you know, Darren Smith wasn't the only one who was playing the aggressor. That's just what this defense does. You know, and it's, you know, it's a gambling defense. So you win some and you lose some.
Are they going to build the defense around him because he's so versatile? He'll get the pass breakups. He's hang out there and get the interceptions. He'll get the sacks, tackles for loss. Are they going to build it around him? Or are they, like, let, or kind of like, not that they'll let him, he does so many things. It's not like do your own thing and see what happens. That's pretty rare for a defensive back because essentially what his production could be considered a linebacker at some parts. You get 8 tackles for loss. You get all the, what do you get, 80 tackles overall last year, something like that, something ridiculous. What is the defense? Is he, I know he's the main focus, but is it going to be, here's Smith, here's what he's going to do, and everybody else do what, go around and fill in the blanks? Or is it just put him in situations to do the best things possible as for attacking the run, being the extra guy in the box, or being the an extra linebacker there?
Well, I mean, he's not, I mean, that's a difficult question to answer because he's not the only guy who does what he does. You know, they make a point of getting after the quarterback. And they were willing to give up big plays last year to accomplish that goal. So, I mean, I don't know if that really answers your question.
Well, I get your point. I just didn't know. I get your point. Okay, it's more of a scheme thing, and they just put him in, here's a play, and you're doing it, or this guy will do that play. It doesn't matter who it is. They expect each person to, you're rushing a quarterback to this play to get it done. It's some one of those things where everybody does their, they have a scheme, and everybody has their own part, and everybody is expected to do it all. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, I think the fact that he can do everything so well allows other players to focus on their own assignments and make the entire defense more effective.
Okay, I guess that's going for that. Yeah, I get your point. If he does everything, it's like, well, just do your thing out there and see what happens. He's not that type of guy. But okay, that's a good point. If he could blitz the quarterback, then have the other some other guy be in coverage or something. Okay. That's why he's so good. That's why he's gotten however many picks in a couple seasons he's been here. So, I think what Chris has mentioned before, do you think he's going to be the he's already the Lott, what's that, the Lott Trophy Award watch list. Do you think he'll be the preseason Mountain West Player of the Year in next month, the media day?
I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk because there's a couple of other guys who are definitely worthy.
Who do you think would challenge him for that?
I think Kyle Fackrell is one option. I think Wyoming's Eddie Yarbrough is another. And I think Ajiro Edirine is probably the fourth guy who would be a serious contender.
That's a good point. There's a lot of good defense. A lot of good defensive backs, linebackers. So it's there's some defense in the league, we should say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Alright, let's go into the schedule. Are you guys still hear me?
Games! We got you. You're here.
Okay.
There.
Games! Games! Games!
USC, game one. Uh-oh.
Yeah, but that's okay because 7-5 Sark is coaching.
Ah, 7-1 Steve.
And Steve. 7-5 Steve. And not Coach Ed Orgeron.
And Coach O.
Yeah.
Oh.
So let's do a big picture. What do you expect? Because there's going to be a drop off from last year. What's your big picture view of a successful season? And then we'll pick a few games here and there.
Well, I think a successful season, I think the ceiling is another conference title, but I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as it was last year. because other teams like Boise and Colorado State and San Diego State. You know, I think that there's no runaway contender that's going to compete for a BCS bowl, if you're asking me. I think that a Fresno State fan can reasonably expect 8 or 9 wins, which would put them in the running for a division title, but doesn't necessarily guarantee it.
That West is wide open. I think it's a 3-team race, that Western Division.
Yeah, and I would agree with that.
Nevada doesn't count.
They don't. We'll see.
Well, no. I mean, now that you bring that up, I'm curious. Who are the 3 teams you're thinking of?
Well, Fresno, San Diego State, and Nevada.
Nevada.
That's a strong question answer there. Nevada.
Well, okay, so Chris, what about you then? If it's a 3-team race in the West Division, who are the 3 teams?
Not a 3-team race. It's not a 3-team race. It's a 2-team. I mean, Fresno, San Diego State.
Pick.
All right. Nevada hater.
We know you, because it's your Boise State alum, so you have to hate Nevada, right? Is that the reason?
Oh, hey, Matt and I share a common thing, because apparently Nevada is also Fresno State's rival as well.
Yeah, I still have flashbacks to Colin Kaepernick.
We'll get to first, but here's my reasoning, and I think it's a decent reasoning. I get that it is Brandon Wimberly, which is what he made an NFL roster is going attempting to. Cody Fajard is a 4-year starter. Brian Pullen is year 2. He knows how to scheme reasonably well against some pretty good teams. And I know this is probably a dumb argument, but every tough game they get at home for the conference. They get Boise at home. They get San Diego State at home. They get Fresno at home. That you have to put them at least. I put them 3rd out of the 3. I'm not saying they're the favorite, but they're number 3 out of those 3 teams. And that's why having that home schedule is the reason why I think they have a reasonable shot at maybe winning possibly that West Division.
This is my last thing about Nevada before we go into the schedule. Only way Nevada wins the West and wins the Mountain West is by somehow finding a clone of Chris Ault, teaching him to coach football, and say, "We found the real Chris Ault."
Well, I would have said if Cody Fajardo could play defense.
You don't like Brock Hecking? The mullet?
I'm not saying I don't like Brock Hecking. I just don't like the guys around him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, we'll save that for another day.
We'll get to that. So let's just, since they play Fresno, Nevada and Fresno, let's just go to that game right away.
All right.
It's game number 11 of 12. Whatever. We can go in any order we want. What's your first thought on that game? Because it is the end of the season. A million things could change. What's your initial thought of being a road game late in the year at a tough Nevada and tough Reno location?
Well, I think I've been generally higher on Cody Fajardo than you guys have. And I think a lot of how that game is going to go will depend on if he's healthy or not. And I think it will also depend on whether Nevada can make a stop every now and then. But, you know, the other thing is that, you know, it's going to be in Reno, which hasn't always been kind to the Bulldogs. Yeah, that's all I've got.
That's fine. Hey, it's game 11 to 12. What else are you going to have at this point? That's my point. Reno's a tough place to play. Fajardo's good. Is he not going to be healthy? And last year he was hurt. So, Chris.
The short answer is it's going to be a win.
Okay. Comfortable win? Or do you think it'll be still a tough matchup?
No, I think it'll probably be by about a touchdown or so.
Okay. Reasonably close. All right, Chris. Let's reverse and go back to week 1.
Yeah. So, USC. You're playing at the Coliseum again. And as Fresno State fans remember, and as USC fans remember, the last time that Fresno State went into the Coliseum, if I'm correct,
the Trojan team
nailed them out.
Oh, yeah. We should have won the game.
Yeah, you should have. I'd agree with that. Gotta stop Reggie Bush. Push him out of bounds.
Knowing how US plays, knowing their starting lineup, or we really know nothing about their starting lineup this year, what do you see? Is this even a winnable game?
for the Bulldogs, or is this going to be like, hey, we paid you so much money to come and lose to us?
Las Vegas 2.0 game?
I'm not going to say that they have a 0% chance of winning, but I am going to admit that I have a lot of trepidation about this matchup right now. You know, they've got All-Americans all over the offense and defense. You know, a guy like Nelson Aguilar is going to step up and be the number one receiver. And it's going to be a big question as to whether they can contain him. You know, it's going to be another big question whether the offensive line can stop a fully healthy Leonard Williams, because that guy is an All-American. They've got five-star guys in the secondary like Sua Cravens. I'm not looking forward to the matchup, to be honest.
Are you going to make your way to that game? Head south?
Probably not, because I'll be back in school by then.
Priorities.
Head in my hands in front of my television.
It'll be on Fox. It's over there, Fox. That's a good one. That's a good. Well, assuming it's not a blowout like the other game, but so assuming that's a loss. So let's move on. Did you play at Utah? Which hoping I can make my way out to that game, which it should be very reasonably since I'm down the street from Bicycle Stadium. What are your thoughts on that game? Because University of Utah is an interesting team. They don't know who their quarterback is. They have issues at pretty much every position possible on offense. Their running game, they have like five running backs who might see the field. This game, I seem like these teams are reasonably evenly matched. And I could see my early gut, I could see, even though Utah's my alma mater, I could see Fresno coming into Salt Lake City and beating this Utah team if they can get something done against what should be a good U defense, or always is a good U defense.
Well, when I wrote the early preview about a couple weeks ago, I essentially said the same thing. I think it's probably going to be a back-and-forth matchup. To answer your question about the quarterback thing, though, I think I read the other day that Travis Wilson got medical clearance.
Oh, yeah. Wilson's medically clear, but they're bringing in Kendall Thompson from Oklahoma, yet it's our little secret, since nobody listens, Kendall Thompson can't throw a lick. He can't throw. He likes to run. If you go to YouTube, there's about five clips of him throwing the ball. So if he's somehow the starter, I would run to go to the 90-minute drive to Wendover, Nevada, and put some good money on Fresno State covering or winning if Kendall Thompson's the starting quarterback.
Kendall Thompson, is that you said he could find five videos of him throwing a ball on YouTube?
They're terrible balls thrown, too. Yeah, not very. Trust me, we've done our research in here in Utah to try to find him throwing the ball. It's not pretty.
Did Thompson turn into Uncle Rico?
That's what it seems like. No, because he went to Oklahoma, that's why.
So he's an arm punter, then?
Yeah, essentially. Arm punter with some legs.
Dirt burglar.
So with that game, because there's a lot of questions in Utah, they do have some good receivers like Drez Anderson. This one guy, Kalen Clay, is probably not going to be eligible, even though he's super fast and very good. He's probably not making the grades. You wrote about Utah already. What is your, besides you said a back-and-forth game, what do you think Fresno's advantages could be in that game? Where do you think they may have the edge against the Utes?
Well, I think it'll probably be that front seven against Utah's offensive line. I was looking at their, you know, their spring two deep, and the offensive line has a lot of turnover, if I remember correctly.
They do, yes. They might be starting a true freshman somewhere.
Yeah, so, you know, they're not going to hesitate to bring a lot of pressure on whoever is under center for the Utes. And I think that, you know, one play, one turnover, strip sack, or, you know, tipped pass, or something like that, I think that's the kind of thing that'll make the difference in that game.
So, after that Utah game, somehow, Fresno
State, Nebraska coming to town.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that one.
Is this going to be the upset win of the year right here?
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, I think it's going to be another close game because I've gone back and I looked at the other two matchups where Big Ten teams came to Fresno, and they both had a really hard time.
Do you count Rutgers as that Big Ten team as well?
No, because they were American last year. You know, this is a team that hasn't lost a home since 2011, if I remember correctly. So they're going to get their best effort, especially, you know, since it's the home opener. And, you know, Nebraska has, you know, the right questions to make it a really interesting game. You know, there's, it's an open question as to how effective Tommy Armstrong can be as a passer, since we're talking about quarterbacks with questionable arms. They're going to have to do a lot to contain Amir Abdullah, because, you know, they had a lot of problems containing running backs at times last year. But I mean, that's the kind of, this is the kind of matchup where I think the talent gap is going to be enough to make the difference, and it's going to be a close loss.
Close loss. So what's your expectation in those first three games then? Because those are some pretty good opponents. Utah's the least of the three, but what are your expectations after heading into that Southern Utah victory?
My expectations are 1-2. I think that they'll go into Salt Lake City and beat Utah, thus giving an entire generation of Bulldogs fans some relief. You know, because they haven't won in Utah since 1990, if you can believe that.
How many times have they played, though? Not many.
Well, I mean, they haven't played since, oh, gosh.
1990?
That's when they played. I think it was that first year that Utah jumped ship from the WAC to the Mountain West, and they played in the Las Vegas Bowl. So, you know, I'm not going to put too much credence into that bad history in Salt Lake, but, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think they'll go in there and get that win.
So, I mean, this is the, and you're right, the one person on Nebraska that scares me is Amir Abdullah, just because he reminds me of the 1995 to 1997 Nebraska football team. He's got that same running style, and it's pretty much like a death machine. But let's move on. You got an easy
Southern Utah, New Mexico. Those should be some wins, right?
Yeah, I've got those slated as wins.
San Diego State, you get at home the 3rd of October.
Yeah, that's the other matchup that I have a lot of concern about. Because, you know, we all saw what happened down in San Diego last year. The Aztecs gave them everything they could handle. And, you know, we had to thank Sheamus for allowing our great escape. But what everybody forgets is that 2 years ago, I think San Diego State actually jumped out to like a 21-point lead in Bulldog Stadium. So this is a matchup that's given the Bulldogs fits in recent history, so I don't see any reason why it won't be more of the same.
So what's your outcome then? Give us a prediction.
My prediction is they'll probably lose. I think it'll probably be
a home loss there?
Yeah. I'm afraid so.
Why are you not a homer predicting every victory for your team?
I'm trying to be realistic. I'm trying to be objective.
I see San Diego State. I see that as a win.
I mean, it must be something about I think it's something about the defense that gives Tim Drewder's offense a little bit of trouble. You know, 2 years ago they were able to really kick it into gear, but if I remember right, I think Derek Carr had thrown a couple of interceptions, which got them to begin with, and that was probably his worst game last year. So they, you know, the Aztecs have a lot of talent coming back, and so I think that it'll be a tough game.
I say it'd be tough, but at home, they got to win. So let's move on. Chris, take the Albertson Stadium game for us, please.
Well, you forgot UNLV.
Man, that's a win, right?
Hey, you know, UNLV's a tough team now. They can make a bowl game now.
Too bad they lost. Their best offensive lineman's gone, so good luck with that.
I would actually agree with Chris, though. I think that they'll be a tough out as long as they can get their quarterback situation figured out.
I think Fresno State's going to beat UNLV handily. I think it's not going to be as lopsided as we think. But anyway, two Albertsons to the Great North, Boise, Idaho. Fresno State traveling. When was the last time that Fresno State beat Boise in Boise?
I think the answer is never.
Is that right, Chris?
I don't know.
You guys continue. I'll look that up as we go.
Oh, you're looking that up?
Okay. I'll look it up. You continue with this game here.
So obviously I'm really high on Boise State, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. I mean, is Boise State seem like a team that Fresno State should beat this year?
No. I don't think so. That's, I mean, I'm trying to be realistic. I think that it's going to be a good team, but I don't think this Bulldogs team is going to be the world beaters that they looked like at times last year. You know, Boise State has, you know, a lot of talent. I think that, you know, their new coach, Brian Harsin, is going to bring some of that old magic back. And I'm really worried that the game is going to get away from them early like it has in years past.
So about that really quick, with the coaching thing, not to go off, change the subject too much, Chris and I feel that the coaching change is not that big a deal. But I hear people talking about here, where I'm at, and other places, chatting with people. They feel it's the Boise is just the bottom's going to fall out when Brian Harsin's there. But if you recall, was it Coach Pete took over for Hawkins, Harsin took over for Pete for OC. Everything seemed to go fine then. He just has been away for a couple years. Is that an accurate? Do you feel that's an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I guess I would say that.
Okay. I had the page appear. My internet just crashed on me, so hopefully I don't die again. I found that statistic we're looking for. But so go back to this game. Is it something where, because you got this, could be, it's going to be a good game because last year's game was amazing. Boise State, yeah, they replaced DeMarcus Lawrence, two offensive linemen, but the Grant Hendrick played half the year. Jay Ajayi should be possibly the best running back out west. What do you think could be? It's a road game at Boise. Like we said, I believe they've never won, if I'm correct here, if I'm looking at this right. Yeah, they have never, out of it since 1996, Fresno has never won at Boise State.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it's going to happen.
2002, exactly, first game, but yeah. So what would it take for them to get that win? I know we're early, but what would it take?
They're going to have to stop Jay Ajayi.
Can they?
Well, yes and no, because, I mean, Ajayi, I think, had, like, what, 120 yards last year in last year's matchup? But he had those critical fumbles.
That's right. You need fumbles and pickle juice to get ready to go.
Yeah, so, you know, that's going to be, you know, because he's probably the best player on that offense, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he should be. Is that right, Chris? Or Matt Miller? Would you take Matt Miller?
I would take
Yeah, last year he had 54 yards on 20 carries. It was Aaron Baltazar that really gave
Transfer State
some trouble. And yeah, he's not there anymore. So I think if they can pull that feat again, then they'll have a very good chance of pulling an upset. But I'm a little concerned about that.
So Chris, is it Matt Miller? You take the number one threat?
I would take Matt Miller as the number one threat. Maybe Ajayi, but mostly Miller. In this game. So then moving on from Boise, we go back home to Fresno to face off against Wyoming, San Jose, and San Jose State. Now, these are games that Fresno State should win, correct?
You know, you guys, I've been listening to your guys' other podcasts, and you guys seem to have some very strong opinions on what you think Wyoming
would be. Hey, direct that word toward Chris there.
Okay.
Chris. You seem to have a very good idea of what you think Wyoming will be.
At this point,
I don't know what Wyoming is going to be, so I'm not really sure.
It's true. Who's your quarterback? I don't know. Who's going to be a wide receiver besides Ruffin? I don't know. What type of defense are they going to run with Craig Bull? They want to try hard.
Yeah, but they got Sean Wick still.
Yeah, they got Sean Wick. Brandon Miller is out there too, I believe, but I see this as a 2-0 stretch without any hesitation.
I totally agree. I think Fresno State should and probably will beat both these teams, no problem.
We already mentioned Nevada. You think it's a win. Hawaii's a win. So what do you think? So what do you say overall? What do you put them at? So 8 wins then? Would that be reasonable expectation?
Yeah, I actually put together a little spreadsheet with losses for every team.
Fancy.
Yeah, I mean, it took like 20 minutes.
Did that preview?
But anyway, I have them at 8-4, but you know that loss to San Diego State is going to be the thing that keeps them from winning another division title.
So who's going to win the West? You pick Aztecs.
Yeah, it's going to be San Diego State and Utah State.
Interesting. Chris, where do you see Fresno State finishing the year?
You know what? I see them
Say that again?
I see them finishing 9-3. I see them losing to USC, losing to Nebraska, losing to Boise State, and that's it.
Hmm. Winning the division then?
Easily, yeah. Winning
okay.
the division.
9-3. We're kind of all on the same page here. I think they're going to... Here's the thing. It depends if they can go 0-3 or maybe... They got to win one of those first three to have before the season to maybe go crazy. And none of those three games are, we could say for sure, they're going to... Like USC likely a loss, like we said. Nebraska likely a loss. Utah's a toss-up, but even that's not guaranteed because Utah's defense is so good, or should be quite good. So they got... I still think they can go 2-2, beating Utah, which kind of... I don't like to say that, but that could be the case there. I can see 8 or 9 wins. I think if the losses I see for sure, you got USC, Nebraska, everybody else, right there. Boise State. I can see 3... The best case scenario would be 9-3, in my opinion. If they're going to lose another game, it's going to be maybe San Diego State and Nevada. If I'm going, like, the worst case scenario would be 7-5. But I'm going to go with 8 wins, and then a combination of losing to Aztecs, Boise, Nevada, USC, Nebraska. Like, those are the 5 games or losable games, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it's an open question about how satisfying that's going to be if that happens, you know, because we have higher expectations than we maybe deserve.
I can see that with Derek Carr a couple of years. You got guys drafted. What did you have back? Did they get 10 wins back in 2012 as well?
No, they were 9-3, and then they got stomped in the Hawaii Bowl.
Oh, that's right, the SMU game.
No, so, but. I think, you know, we have these expectations because we were the BCS buster that never was. So you
and BYU are in the same company then? Except better during that time?
That doesn't make me feel better.
Jeff. I know, the only thing I can think of that's pretty good, that's didn't make it.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether the fan base is really into it if they lose that first home game against Nebraska. It's going to be really interesting to see if the fans continue to show up for all the rest of the games, because all the rest of the games should be wins. They should probably go 5-1 at home this year.
So what happens if they start 0-3? How would that turn out to be?
Well, I mean, I think that they'll still have the talent to rebound and finish, you know, 7-5, 8-4.
And then what about the fan base? I mean, because the title game was questionable attendance because the weather's kind of cold. If they start 0-3 and then their next game is Southern Utah...
Yeah, I think, you know, if they start 0-3, you know, fans are going to have a really hard time getting up for an FCS opponent first.
Of course.
But, you know, if they can rebound and win those next three games and get off to a strong start in conference play, you know, I think by the time they get to Wyoming that, you know, they might respond. They might fill the stands. I don't really know.
Hope so.
It's a fickle fan base. I don't know.
All right. So, in wrapping this, what games are you planning on attending this year outside of all of them?
Well, you know, I'm probably going to do the same thing that I did last year. I didn't actually attend any games last year outside of the Las Vegas Bowl. You know, what I did instead is I went to my local establishment and planted myself in front of a TV and was able to make observations that way.
I feel some. Also,
what the? Get that back in there, Chris. Say that again.
I said I feel in some ways that's better and it's cheaper.
Yeah,
it is much cheaper.
Better experience sometimes. You get a good TV view, you can see it all.
If there's a game I should go to this year, and willingly travel to Fresno, what weekend?
Wait. Why is there a question? It's Wyoming, Fresno. Has to be.
It might be another game. It might be Nebraska Fresno.
I think that the answer to that question really depends on your availability, because the Bulldogs actually have 4 straight Friday games.
Oh my!
In the middle of the season.
That's right. New Mexico.
Although actually only one of them is a home game, and that's the game against San Diego State. All the rest of them are on the road.
Definitely make that a Nevada game? No. Fresno State, Boise State game. And I have tickets. Hey, I might have tickets to the UNLV Fresno State game if you want to travel out here.
That's true, yeah. Chris is making a big attempt to go to a bunch of games this year since he's now in Las Vegas.
That sounds interesting.
I am going to, my weak attempt is to go to the stadium that's down the street for me, assuming I'm not working middle of the day, which, knowing my occupation, I will be somewhere else working on this game. But I would love to go to Utah versus Fresno State because that's a good barometer for the team, because Utah's hoping as much as they can to get to 6 wins. And while talent-wise they should have recruiting, all that junk, they have a slight edge on Fresno, but still that game could be reasonably close. And that's a big barometer game, I think, to see where Fresno could be this year. If they beat Utah by a lot, not to say they'd go 11-1 or something crazy, but we know we're right that they can get to 8 to maybe 10 wins on the high end. But if they struggle and lose, it's like, well, how bad is this team?
Yeah, I mean, the number one home game, the big draw, is obviously Nebraska. But don't undersell the fact that San Jose State is cruising for a bruising this year.
Yeah, last year was, oh, man. Exciting game, but geez, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I mean that's the other natural rival that we have. So I'm looking forward to getting a measure of revenge on those guys.
All right, let's finish this up here so we can get out of here on take two, as we said. What would be the biggest shocker this year, win loss, or what would you be the, if anything ever happened on the field surrounding this team, what would be like the biggest shock factor to you? Beating USC, winning the Mountain West title again, going to a New Year's Day Bowl. What would be the biggest? You still got to be realistic here, but what do you think had to be the biggest wow factor this year for Fresno?
Well, I think if we can beat USC, that would be a huge program.
I said realistic. No, I'm kidding.
It's a non-zero chance, all right?
I know. I'm just kidding. I know.
The first time they played USC was in the Freedom Bowl back in like '93. And that's still one of the biggest wins in the program's entire history. You know, everybody still remembers the Reggie Bush game. You know, everybody still smarts over that. And, you know, everybody's itching for that second chance against, you know, to avenge the Las Vegas Bowl. So, you know, if they go in there and they play inspired and USC looks more like USC than they were at the beginning of last year.
So Cody Kessler throwing 4 picks versus Hawaii, that would help out?
Yeah, or if they go into the Coliseum and play like Utah State did last year.
Okay. That's reasonable. That makes sense. If they can somehow beat USC, that'd be huge. Start the season great. Figure they'll give maybe to 10 wins again. So that's all we got for tonight. I'd like to thank you for joining us and spending the extra half an hour to get this taken care of.
Absolutely.
So as you know, we got Matt Kay writes plenty of stuff for us. He writes Fresno football, doing all the previews, top. You sent me your top 50 countdown, right, I believe?
Yes, I did.
I got to find it because I'm missing one or two. So that's coming out this week, top 50 countdown. Expect the top five. I'll skip right now. Look for Jackie Keaton, Kyle Fracker, Darren Strong-Smith, perhaps.
Cody Fajardo.
Jay Ajayi. That should be a top five. Does that make sense in some order? Should be. No? What? No, not in that order, but those should be like the five best players, perhaps.
Not if you look at mine.
I mean, I got to find yours then.
Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. That's coming up soon. I know I'm missing one or two because I have like five. I'm like, I know there's like six or seven. All right, so that's a good thing for me to look into as well because I'm trying to puzzle my head who you'd have in there. Is that DJ Pumphrey from San Diego State?
You mean Pumphrey?
I'm assuming that's a no, because that's a name I saw very few people put on the list, so.
Probably has Joey Utsepp on there.
I have him reasonably high. Seriously, that Hawaii running back, when he came in the last 3 or 4 games, he did pretty good. But let's just finish this up here. We don't need to get into that. Look for those top 50 countdown. All three of us did a top 50. Handful of other writers, a lot of new writers coming on board. We got that in there. I think Matt, again, joining us for a good hour of talking Fresno football. 8 wins, 9 wins, that's the expectation here. Join us, MWCConnection.com. We're doing our show about once or twice a week whenever we get to it, I guess. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. We're still Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep that going, I'm assuming. But everyone, thanks for joining us. And, hey, hit us up next time.